dystopia society is. It's that sort of resilience that has allowed us to tackle the huge problems that face us. If Jackie Schaefer is here, it's too bad. This is the only place I know where I could say that she is the only good bureaucrat in California. And she should meet Dan Peters, who's the only good corporate executive in America. But none of the journalists here should report that I said that about Jackie Schaefer, or she will be fired. John O'Sullivan began the conference by arguing that America is a people characterized by its tales, its melodies, its stories. He gave powerfully the example that the American soldiers in the Second World War, when challenging each other to find out their nationality, did not mention the Declaration of Independence. They mentioned sports figures. How many home runs did Babe Ruth hit? Such as that. And if he's here, I'd like to say to him, in case we have another war, and Britain and America are allies in the war, that it's not Joe Louis. That may have been the son of a French monarch. We can't afford to lose some of our best propaganda officers, and he surely would be shot dead. I was thinking yesterday afternoon, as a matter of fact, I've been giggling for 2 days, as almost everyone here is, about Stan Evans and the stupid and the evil parties. And I reflected on what an incredibly gloomy thing Jim McClellan said at the end of his fine speech on Lord Bryce. He actually said the sentence, "The American people have lost what little virtue they once had." Is that Jim Standardmaker? I think he said that. And it occurred to me after he said that, that if the dichotomy is between the stupid and the evil parties, it gives a whole new meaning to Jefferson's great phrase, "We are all Democrats, we are all Republicans now." Our, is it now former president, Cribb? And I'd like to say a Sunday morning well done to former President Cribb. Said that our job this morning is to apply all of the wisdom that we have learned yesterday. We're the only ones who have to take the test. We're going to see how we can do about that. But I will say that wisdom is necessary to sort out immigration, and I can give a practical example of why. Immigration reaches to the fundamental issues of our country. I can tell you, for example, that in our current politics, there is a man by the name of Joseph Montes with an office in California who is the Southwestern Regional Administrator of the State Advisory Councils on Civil Rights. Whoever heard of that? He's a man with some power. Every state appoints a Civil Rights Commission, which reports to the Federal Civil Rights Commission. And two friends of mine, Thomas West and Edward Erler, are on the one's on the Texas and one's on the California State Civil Rights Advisory Commission. Montes is the administrator over them. And Montes has been holding a series of hearings along the border. And in these hearings, he's been hearing a lot of testimony that the officers of the Border Patrol are violating the civil rights of people who attempt to make their way, contrary to the laws of the United States, into the country. And of course, Mr. Montes is closely wired with the American Civil Liberties Union, and with the newspaper, and through the National Civil Rights Commission, he is closely wired with the Congress and with the bureaucracy throughout the executive branch. And every time the immigration issue comes up before the Congress, a string of stories breaks out across the country about these horrible violations of the civil rights of these aspiring immigrants. Now, Montez has been inconvenienced in this work by the presence of my two friends, who by every skullduggery known to man, he has attempted over and over to fire, but for Commissioner Robert George from Princeton, a conservative, he would have been successful. And my two friends have been driven to distraction, trying to deal with all this, and in the course of it, they have found a couple of arguments that serve as a good introduction to this panel, I think. They go to the question about whether America is an idea or is a people or both. And if it is an idea or a people or both, what do the ideas say about immigration? Edward Erler in particular has discovered, as I say, born of his frustration in dealing with Mr. Joseph Montez, the astonishing fact that there was a debate governing the passage of the 14th Amendment back in 1866. Senator Trumbull, a powerful proponent of the 14th Amendment, said that it was going to cover, the citizenship clause specifically, was going to cover only those people who owe their allegiance to the United States. Senator Jacob Howard, who wrote the citizenship clause of the 14th Amendment, said in open debate in the Senate, "Every person born within the limits of the United States and subject to their jurisdiction is by virtue of natural law and national law," mentioning those two things together, "a citizen of the United States. This will not, of course, include persons born in the United States who are foreigners, aliens, who belong to the families of ambassadors or foreign ministers, but will include every other class of persons." An amazing quote in a country that now treats everyone born within its borders, even if their parents are there contrary to law, as automatically a citizen. And Professor Erler goes on to look and to read the Massachusetts Bill of Rights in 1780, which says, "The end of the institution, maintenance, and administration of government is to secure the existence of the body politic, to protect it, to furnish the individuals who compose it with the power of enjoying in safety and tranquility their natural rights. The body politic is formed by a voluntary association of individuals. It is a social compact by which the whole people covenants with each citizen, and each citizen with the whole people, that all shall be governed by certain laws for the common good." The plain meaning being that even if the country is nothing but these universal ideas themselves define a citizenship and a set of mutual obligations that every living person is not automatically party to. The contract is made, and others may join if they are admitted to the contract. Now, we have some simply splendid people to speak on this subject this morning. First one that I'm going to introduce is a good friend of mine. He says in his resume, which cannot be true, he's so solid today, that he began his life in Orange County but was corrupted at Stanford University. It is unbelievable that such a man as this was once corrupted. He claims to have returned to sanity working at the Orange County Register, which is surely one of the very best newspapers in the United States if you read its editorial page. If you read the rest, it is pretty ordinary. And then he went on to work at what is surely one of the best papers in the United States, if you read its editorial page, the Wall Street Journal. He's a journal editor and editorial writer now who covers the Western United States. He's a neighbor of ours. His articles are always wonderful. And he, alas, claims to have lost the 1992 Pulitzer Prize to Anna Quindlen. A deep injustice, Tim Ferguson.